At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
A new week.
And welcome back in third and final hour of the program, but we're going to be talking about fire safety because we have joining us right now firefighter Anthony Puente, joining us here on the program this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg. Excellent. How are you?
Doing very well. And, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure people are aware of, we want to have people be safe all across the board. But fire safety in the city of New Bedford is a big deal. And I know that you and the department spend a lot of time educating people about fire safety.
Yes, we do. And it's very important because fire safety does save lives. As I like to say, safety never sleeps. So we like to make sure that people are always checking their smoke alarms, you know, testing them once a month, making sure the batteries are changed once or twice a year. And when we change our clocks, that's a great time to change the batteries. As the years go on, a lot of our smoke alarms will be sealed batteries, so you won't be able to change them at some point as far as the newer ones go. But for now, we want to be able to change those batteries once or twice a year and test those smoke alarms because they do save lives. There is statistics that prove that. We want our smoke alarms working.
So if you have one of those newer ones that has the sealed battery, so what's the plan there? If it goes dead after a while because that battery no longer holds a charge, you just swap it out with a new detector?
Right. According to the manufacturer, they say it's a 10-year sealed battery smoke alarm. So it prevents people from taking them out, especially younger people who want them for video games or games. We just want people... the statistics will show, you know, these 10-year sealed batteries are going to last 8 years, they're going to be 9 years, but they're advertised as 10-year smoke alarms.
I think that happens so often where you see, like, people will set the smoke detector off, the smoke alarm off while they're cooking.
Yes.
And then they'll go and they'll reset it and it'll go off again. So then they'll go, oh, I'm just taking the batteries out or I'm disconnecting it or whatever. And then they forget to put it back in.
And that's what happens a lot. With a lot of our fatalities, we find that the smoke alarms are disabled. For whatever reason, whether they're unplugged, if they're electronic. Sometimes they might be too close to a bathroom where people are taking hot showers. The steam sets them off. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, oh, this is a pain. And I'm just going to disconnect it and I'll reconnect it later. But we forget because we have busy lives. We have busy days.
I've often wondered because, you know, I write a lot of the news stories when there's fires around and I will see in the release, it'll say, you know, the residents did not have working fire detectors. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they didn't have them installed. It just means that they might not have had batteries in them or they might have disconnected them for one of those reasons.
Correct. And for our communities, whether it be Fairhaven, Dartmouth, New Bedford, Mattapoisett, Westport, if someone wants to reach out to the American Red Cross, I don't have the number, but if you reach out to the American Red Cross, they will provide your community fire department with smoke alarms to help you put them in, or they will help you put them in. So that's a great tool to have in our area. For people to reach out to if they can't afford smoke alarms.
And that's a big deal, too, because you probably have a lot of folks who might be, you know, a little bit older. They live in these apartments that have high ceilings.
Yes.
And they're like, well, I can't climb up a ladder to change the batteries or to put in a new smoke detector.
Right.
So by being able to utilize those services, they can make sure that they're as safe as can be.
Yeah, and we did a couple last week. It's sporadic. If we have an event, usually we get a couple of people sign up. American Red Cross, they come to a lot of our events, in our local community that we have, and people will sign up and then they'll call, can you assist us with, we have two families that don't have smoke alarms. And they ask them a few questions and then they'll say, okay, we're not going to go and update your house if you're going to go sell it. We just want to make your house safer, not so much to pass to sell a 26F, but we want to make sure that your house is safer when we leave there. That is the goal.
So, and you focus on safety every day, all year round, but this is actually Fire Prevention Week.
Yes, this is actually Fire Prevention Week every year. You know, especially it's in October, but Fire Prevention Week, a lot of my brother and sister local departments are doing open houses in their fire departments. Actually, Mattapoisett is actually having theirs tonight. Ours is October 19th. But we just want to promote fire safety, not only this week, but 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We just want to promote safety and common sense.
My assumption is that this probably comes in October because this is the time of year when people are starting to turn their heat on and they're starting to, you know, plug in electric heaters or whatever it may be. Is that one of the biggest challenges of keeping people safe?
Well, heaters, yes, because sometimes people use, you know, they'll use their oven as a source of heat, and that's not what it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. It's meant for cooking. But sometimes people, you know, what's the cost of oil in regards to the cost of gas? So they're gonna turn on that oven. Or if they're still too cold, the unit might be at 80 degrees, but for a lot of our older adults in our community, that's not hot enough. So they turn it on. Now that creates a carbon monoxide issue, sets off the carbon monoxide detector. So now we get calls that way. Also, we have candles. We have a Halloween. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we have a lot of, you know, just basically people going to sleep with a candle on. You go to sleep, the candle goes to sleep. You leave the house, the candle goes out. We don't want to leave candles lit if there's no one in the home, especially if you have pets.
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned over the years, too, is that why have candles when they have all these great LED light candles that flicker that you don't have to worry about lighting and unlighting? You know, you just turn it on, you put it in there, and that battery is going to last you the whole Halloween season.
Correct, especially when people put candles inside of pumpkins. We have, you know, the trick-or-treaters, and, you know, sometimes we have might have a fire, you know, inside of a pumpkin fire, as silly as it sounds. But, yeah, you can use the battery-operated ones. You can put them in the window. People are driving by. They can't tell if it's real or not. Sometimes we actually get calls for that because people see that in the window or they see a reflection, and we'll get calls, but we'd rather go to those calls as opposed to a fire.
I know a lot of people that live in New Bedford, especially in some of the more congested areas with the three-decker houses. They have those, you know, those old-style gas furnace things in their house that they use to heat their apartments. And people think, okay, well, it's cold out, I'm just going to turn it on. Meanwhile, it hasn't been turned on since, you know, last March. Are there procedures that people should follow before turning their heat on for the first time?
So basically, we want to make sure that those like we clean your boiler once a year, we recommend that you also clean your space heaters once a year. They have people that come in and will do that professionally. And it's just preventative maintenance. So we want to prevent fires, just have it cleaned out. They'll check it for you to make sure that it's okay. You might get that funny smell at first because it might be dust accumulated. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you know, you should be fine. But we want them also, you know, we're not mandating it, but we recommend that those are also cleaned like your boilers once a year.
Well, one of the things that I've done is, you know, I've taken the compressed air that you use for a keyboard. And I've used that to try to get into all the little cracks and crevices and the grates and the screens and everything to make mm-hmm. sure that you don't get that dust that burning right. off at the that, beginning.
That's a great idea, yes.
And then it's less that I'm concerned about the fire because I know that I've, you know, cleaned everything off pretty well. Mm-hmm. It's more because I don't want to be breathing that in.
Right, yeah. Correct.
So what are some of the other challenges that you face as firefighters in New Bedford and on the South Coast that people should be aware about this week?
Well, so just basically, there's so many things I could come here every morning and talk to you, which isn't a bad idea. But we just want you to just use common sense in regards to when, you know, if you're cooking on the grill, we don't want to be cooking on our porches and on our balconies. We want to be outside, be, you know, 20, 25 feet away. If it's a windy day, maybe a little bit further away from the building when cooking outside. Things such as, I can't speak to specific incidences, but we want to make sure that all flammables, propane tanks, gasoline, all that stuff should be outside. If you have oily rags, those should be in a proper container. A lot of our, you know, mechanic garages, they have the proper container where they have that metal can, and then it gets picked up by a company. That's what we want. We don't want oily rags thrown in with the garbage. We don't want cigarette butts thrown in with the garbage. Because even though you think it's out, that cigarette is still lit for a period of time. That's why back in the 90s, we had a lot of couch fires because people fell asleep, couch, and it just smolders and smolders. With smoking education, we've known to, you know, put those in a cup of water overnight and then discard them.
So one of the things you mentioned propane tanks. One of the things that I know of a friend that had an incident where they smelled gas in their house and they couldn't figure out where it was coming from. Mm-hmm. And it turns out they had put their camping stove in a closet.
Correct.
And just having stuff in the closet, I don't know if stuff got shifted around, but something caused that because it doesn't take much to turn one of those on. Right. And so they were getting all that gas smell coming out from that. And that's dangerous. You could have one of those blow up in your house.
Right. And we would hope that, the carbon monoxide detector would go off, we would hope, but sometimes like propane gas, that's why those things need to be stored outside so we can avoid those things.
I think in this particular case, it was, you know, just far enough away from their carbon monoxide, which I think was in the basement, and that's just that small little amount. So,
correct.
I mean, it would take a lot for it to get to the detector in that point, right?
Yep. Yes.
So speaking of carbon monoxide detectors, you know, I know I had one in my house just in the basement because that's where the furnace was and everything else. But should they be on multiple levels?
So we should all have, if we're burning fossil fuels, propane, oil, gas, things like that, we should have a carbon monoxide detector, one on each level of living space. If we walk into a house and it's just, you know, a kitchen, living room, dining room, bathroom, it doesn't matter where that carbon monoxide detector goes. It can be plugged in on the ceiling. It can be plugged in the wall because carbon monoxide, it's a gas that's similar in density to air. So as we walk through it, it's going to go up. It's going to go down. It's all over the place. So it doesn't matter in regards to carbon monoxide detection where that's plugged in. Now, if you put a bedroom on that first floor, that carbon monoxide detector can be no more than 10 feet from that bedroom door. If we go upstairs and there's a long hallway, and that's probably like a 15-foot hallway, you may need two carbon monoxide detectors. If it's a small area such as, your office here and we got two doors, you may only need one. If we go into the basement, it's up into interpretation, but we prefer that you have one in the basement as well.
I lived in a small cottage, two bedrooms, living room, kitchen that were kind of one room, and then a little addition office type space like a den.
Yep.
And the landlord had put a smoke detector / carbon monoxide detector in pretty much every room. So even though like the whole house was maybe about as big as a studio, he had them everywhere because he said he'd rather be safe than sorry. He was an electrician, so it was easy for him to just rig it up.
Right.
And he said they're all connected, and this way here nobody can ever say that they weren't aware.
Right. And when he says they're connected, what he means is, I'm sure you know, but if one goes off, they all go off. Mm-hmm. So they're all talking to each other. If one goes off, you know, if the one in the basement goes off, the one on the third floor is going to go off. So that's why in our three families or more, you know, we have they have to be interconnected at least in the front rear hallways, basement. So if there is something going on in the basement, if there's a fire in the basement, that third floor will know right away that there's something going on. But we want to treat every alarm as it's a fire.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it used to be that they would have to wire everything, you know, to make that happen. Nowadays, they have new detectors that kind of work almost like Bluetooth where they're connected to each other. So they can be wireless and one will set off the rest of them.
That is correct. Yep. So that's actually what I have.
And they're not expensive. That's the other thing, too, is people think, well, if I'm going to upgrade to this latest technology, how much is it going to cost me? For the average person, it's an easy buy.
Right. And nothing, you can't put a price on your life.
That's true. I mean, I think especially not only for just being able to get yourself out safely, but being able to stop a fire as early as possible. Think of the damage that you could endure. What are some other safety tips that you think people should be paying attention to?
Just remember, we talked about candle safety, about cooking safety. When we're cooking, we want to make sure anything on the stovetop, we just don't want to leave it, you know, cooking on its own, go outside, rake the leaves, and then because sometimes you're going to do that, and that may have happened. I'm not sure. I'm not saying it did a couple of weeks ago, but, you know, somebody goes outside, they're raking the leaves while they're trying to boil rice, and then they you know, they get on the phone, they're talking to someone else, they forget about the rice. Now we have a kitchen fire. So just common sense, you know, cooking, just if it's on the stovetop, monitor it. Obviously, if it's in the oven, when I'm not going to have you, you know, look at the oven and watch the turkey for 3 or 4 hours. But anything that's in the oven, you know, just turn it off. Anything on the stovetop, turn it off, put a lid on it. Fire needs three things, fuel, heat, and oxygen. So when we put a lid on something, we're taking away its oxygen. But when we look to peak, oh, is that fire out? Now we're adding oxygen to it. We don't want to carry it through the house outside. Leave it where it is. Call 911. We'll come check it out. If it's not burnt, we'll try it and let you know if it's good.
That's one thing that I've noticed, too, is as I've become older, I've become more kind of absent-minded. So where I would leave something on the stove and then I would walk away and like go check the score of the game or whatever and then come back and do it, I've stopped doing that. Like now when I'm cooking something, I'm in the kitchen the whole time because I'm worried about that kind of stuff.
Yes, well, thank you for being a good advocate. Because if you look at pictures of fires, you know, you look at, you know, just about all of them could have been prevented. You know, whether it be, you know, cooking fire, a candle fire, a candle near a window with a shade, you know, the breeze, some of the windows are drafty, that shade moves, that curtain moves, and now we have a fire. Or the pets running around get startled for some reason, knocks it over. So we just need to use some of our common sense.
And
we'll prevent a lot of fires.
I had one fire in my house my whole, you know, adult life. And that was exactly that. It was a pet caused it. There was a pizza box on the counter next to the stove. Mm-hmm. And the cat had decided to get up on the counter and try to get something or maybe trying to open the pizza box, whatever, knocked the box onto the stove, which was a gas stove. And I don't know, nobody was home at the time. I don't know if it was a matter of the cat might have hit the stove somehow and hit or if it was just a matter of it sat there with the pilot going.
Right.
But something caused the cardboard to ignite and it started a fire.
Right.
Fire department had to come down and put it out.
Probably the pilot. Yeah.
So it just goes to show, you know, better safe than sorry.
That's right.
So in the final few moments that we have here, if anybody wants to call in with any fire questions, 508-996-0500. The other part of it is, it's not just awareness for yourself, especially in New Bedford where there's so many houses that are close together. It's making sure that everybody around you is aware of this fire safety.
Right. So my brother and sister firefighters, we just had our safe conference last month where there was 261 of us this year, which was a really good turnout up in Southbridge. Just people from around the state. We get together. We share ideas, things like that. But just to acknowledge fire safety, not only fire safety, but, you know, People that have, you know, people on the spectrum, you know, people with disabilities, to understand those disabilities, people who don't hear well, you know, to understand what they're going through. There are certain workshops. But as far as fire safety, we all want to work together for a common goal to keep the fires down. And we do have statistics that show that.
And, you know, if you live on the third floor apartment and the woman that lives underneath you is an elderly woman, knock on her door, you know, when you're changing the batteries on your smoke detector and say, would you like me to do yours as well? Because, you know, keep in mind, you're all living together and one can help the other.
Correct. And especially, like I said, about grilling, you know, we see some grills on the third floor porch, on the second floor porch. You know, be mindful of the others that you're living with, because it might not be your life. It could be theirs and they don't have the capability of maybe getting out as quickly as you can. So,
and what about one thing that I see a lot of is people will keep propane tanks outside over the course of, you know, because the grilling season might be over for them,
right,
and then they're not going to deal with it again until next spring, and then they'll go return it and exchange or whatever. Is there a danger to leaving those lying around your yard?
We'd prefer them to be outside. If you want to lock them up, they're better to be outside. As opposed to being in the building or on a porch or something like that. So being outside is not an issue because we leave them outside all summer mm-hmm. long, but leaving them outside in the winter is not a problem.
Okay, so there won't be anything that'll really cause some damage to them during the winter.
No.
I mean, the one thing that I hate is that I'll save one of those tanks. I'll be like, well, I can use this again next year. There's still gas in it. And then I turn it on the first time and it was empty. I was like, I could have returned it, not left it outside the whole season.
Correct. Yep.
So, again, 508-996-0500. If people have concerns about some of the things in their own homes that might not be safe, what is a good way that they can reach out to share their questions and concerns?
Basically, just call your local fire department. There's prevention bureaus that they'll answer your question, or you know, they could refer them to me if it's in New Bedford. We'll answer those questions. And I don't know everything, so if I don't have the answer to something, I will get the answer to that person within a 24-hour period.
And now we're and of course, immediately following the Halloween season with the, you know, the jack-o'-lanterns and all that, and people turning on the heat, we're going to get into Christmas season where people are going to have lights on their homes and everything. Any suggestions of how to be safe with holiday decorations?
Yeah, as far as Halloween, don't overload circuits because people got like all these blow-up things. And, you know, we don't want to overload circuits. Make sure you're using GFI extension cords so that if it does sense a surge, it'll shut itself off. Trick-or-treaters, because it's not only fire safety, but it's life safety. Make sure you're looking both ways when crossing the street. Make sure you have a flashlight with you or some type of reflective costume. You know, younger ones, please go with adults. Okay, go to places you know. As far as, you know, Thanksgiving, but not only Thanksgiving, always remember cooking safety. You know, just using common sense with that.
Don't throw the frozen turkey in the deep fryer and don't deep fry it in the house.
I was at that fire. That was a long day. Father Racine and I, who is our chaplain, Father Mike Racine is our chaplain. We were actually talking about that the other day. That was a long day. And then as far as holidays, you know, if you have real trees, make sure you keep giving them water because they're going to get dry. When they get dry, those hot lights, and then we have a fire. Christmas trees are very... very, they'll just go up quickly. Mm-hmm. That's how they're very quickly to ignite. So we want to make sure we have, just don't overload circuits. If you using candles, the electric ones, battery operated ones, use those. And if you're celebrating Hanukkah, make sure that, you know, the same thing, you can use the battery operated electronic ones. So there's all different ways to avoid using real flame.
And you had mentioned the GFI plugs and outlets. So, and those usually have that foil tag on them that say that.
Yes, they do.
So that people will know for sure that that's what they're using.
Right. Absolutely.
And also I've noticed there's a tendency from people to not, you know, to overload some of those too. They think that because, well, I've got a surge protector, so I can plug another surge protector into that one and then another one into that one. And that's not
right. And that's what we have. We call those trees. So we basically, you know, you got a refrigerator, a freezer, a television, everybody's charging their phones. Everybody's charging their items with lithium batteries, which is a whole nother topic. With the rail coming in, we got a lot of people on scooters, and the scooters, you know, people try to manipulate them. Well, how can I make this thing 20 miles an hour faster? Well, I'm going to download this. I'm going to put it in, and it's not meant to run that way. So we get lithium battery fires. The last conference I just went to, every day in New York, there is a lithium battery fire.
Wow.
Every day in New York. Because of the population, every day they can attribute a fire or some fire to lithium batteries. And those things are just coming down here quickly because of the rail. Make sure that if you're charging something, you're using the charger that it's meant to be used for. That charger is for that item, for that phone, for that laptop.
And one other quick thing, just in the final moment here.
Yes.
When it comes to extension cords, people will have a tendency to use those same cords year after year after year, keep pulling them out, and you see like these old 1970s looking extension cords.
Right.
Those should be replaced after a time.
I would replace those. You can go, you know, to local establishments. You get a nice, good ones, you know, $5, $10, $15, depends on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like I said, you can't put a price on your life. Those old ones, as much as you want to keep them, you know, it's time to discard them because they will get dry, they will get brittle. And that's why we don't want extension cords going under rugs.
That's how we lost my grandparents' house.
Oh,
they had
sorry.
An extension cord under, I mean, thankfully everybody got out okay.
Yeah.
But they had an extension cord going under a rug that they'd put there in like the 1950s.
Wow.
And this was in the late 90s or early 2000s that it finally, after years of running the vacuum over it,
correct,
finally sparked a fire and burned the whole house
down.
And
that's what happens to those. Yes.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us and for keeping us safe all the time.
No problem. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
And will you be coming in with Santa Claus when he comes in December?
I'm going to try to. Yes, I think we'll be picking him up at the airport.
Yeah,
with our local 841. So just a quick thing about our open house. It's October 19th from 1 to 4. We're going to be cutting up a car, which will be given to us by Leach. We're going to have pizza given to us from Domino's. We're going to have chicken nuggets from Cove Surf and Turf. And I'm actually going to go meet with Dunkin' Donuts. They want to provide us with hot chocolate and munchkins. So,
and that'll be happening where?
That's at the 912 Brock Avenue, the new South Public Fire and Safety Building.
It's a great building, great facility.
Yes.
So head on out to that, meet everybody, and learn more about fire safety.
Absolutely.
Well, again, thank you for always keeping us safe, Firefighter Anthony.
No problem. Thank you.
We're going to take a break here, and then we'll come back. We'll go into the news. We'll be back in just a few moments. Although it is time to go into the news and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Milton leaves a wake of destruction in Florida. A link between COVID-19 and heart attacks. And a Vegas landmark disappears just like that.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hurricane Milton is still a Category 1 storm this morning as it leaves Florida and heads out into the Atlantic. Tampa Police Chief Lee Burkaw detailed what they've seen so far.
We've seen a lot of trees down, power lines down. Fortunately, we did not get the storm surge that we were expecting.
Milton leaving a trail of damage across central Florida. Cities on Florida's east coast now reporting storm surge, flash flooding, and damaging winds. Several deaths are being reported in St. Lucie County, where a tornado destroyed everything in its path. Search and rescue teams still going through the rubble. Governor Ron DeSantis says there were 19 confirmed tornadoes, but that number is expected to rise. Former President Barack Obama will be in Pittsburgh today to campaign for Vice President Harris. It's part of an effort to drum up voter participation in the critical swing state of Pennsylvania with its 19 electoral votes. Meanwhile, former President Trump made two campaign stops in the Keystone State yesterday. Trump also planning to hold a rally at Madison Square Garden on October 27th. Trump has said multiple times that one of his larger goals is to turn New York into a red state. A judge is calling on lawyers for Sean Diddy Combs to knock it off with the bail appeals. Court documents show that the disgraced hip-hop mogul's defense filed the latest and third attempt to get him out of Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center on Tuesday. They cite appropriate bail conditions, including that Combs wouldn't threaten the community. As to why he should be spared from the facility's harsh conditions before his trial starts. According to a new court paper obtained by the Mirror, the new judge in the case has directed the court to terminate the defense's requests ahead of Combs' next appearance today. A British study shows COVID-19 can boost your heart attack and stroke risk for 3 years after an infection. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
That's according to scientists at the UK Biobank, who studied medical records from 250,000 people. People who contracted COVID before there were vaccines to reduce the severity of the disease were twice as likely to have a major cardiac event as those who managed to avoid COVID in the early days. The study also found that the heart attack risk did not diminish over time. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Broadway will dim the lights to honor Tony Award-winning actor Gavin Creel. Jacqueline Carl has more.
The Committee of Theater Owners were planning on conducting a partial dimming of the lights, which is when each theater owner dims the lights of one of their theaters, but fans wouldn't stand for it. An online petition garnered more than 20,000 signatures to honor 48-year-old Creel, who died on September 30th, with a full tribute, meaning all Broadway theaters will go dark for 1 minute. So far, no date has been set for Creel's tribute, but the matter has gotten the Committee of Theater Owners to review their dimming policies and procedures. Jacqueline Carl, NBC News Radio, New York.
And one of the longest standing casino hotels on the Las Vegas Strip went out with a bang overnight as crews brought down the Tropicana in a controlled demolition. The implosion was preceded by a drone and fireworks show. The former Oakland Athletics future baseball stadium will be built on the site.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins hope to bounce back from a season opener loss to the Florida Panthers back at TD Garden tonight to play the Montreal Canadiens in the season home opener. Boston Celtics continue the preseason Saturday night with the Philadelphia 76ers at the Garden, and the Patriots home to play the Houston Texans on Sunday. The game right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sun is out this morning, a little cold to start the day, but we're getting warmer, about 60 degrees on the south coast by this afternoon, warming up more for Friday, temperatures in the mid-60s and sunny. Saturday will outdo Friday, a high near 73 degrees expected, sun all weekend, and possibly some showers Sunday night into Monday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And 508-996-0500. You heard Phil mention Stevie's Wine and Spirits there. And they just announced yesterday that their annual holiday grand tasting is going to be happening on Saturday, November 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. I can tell you, I plan on being there for this. I think, I'm going to have to check my calendar because... Give me a second here before I make false promises, because I missed the fall tasting because I had to be somewhere. But give me one second and I can tell you for sure. Not that most of you don't care if I'm going to be there or not. You're just going there to try the different stuff. You don't really care. Well, I'll have to check. I just want to make sure it doesn't conflict with our Hunger Heroes food drop time. But even then, that's over by noon. So... anyway, November 9th, Saturday, November 9th, 1 to 4, they're having their holiday tasting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. They're going to have whiskey, wine, gin, beers, all kinds of different things there for you to sample. Now, you must be 21 plus to participate, of course, but you get to try some of these as well as getting a discount on anything that you sample that day and buy. They always do 10% off the things that they are sampling on the day of the tasting. So, set that date in your calendar, Saturday, November 9th from 1 to 4. Come on down, hang out with me there. I'll be there. One way or another, I'll be there because I want to try some of these great things. And of course, I love getting down there and meeting all of the people that go and visit Stevie's. So you can get everything that you need there. It's the home of the purple dot where you can try it before you buy it. So you don't have to even wait for a tasting. If there's something that you want to sample before you make the purchase and it has the purple dot on it, you can ask to try it so that you can make sure that you really do love it before you invest in it. And don't forget, too, you can join the Rack House Club. If you are a bourbon, whiskey, rye fan, you can join the Rack House Club and you can get exclusive tasting events, exclusive discounts and deals. And, of course, you get a gift bag every month with a bottle in it that's equivalent or more to the cost of the Rack House Club membership. There's no deduction from your bank account, no credit card hit. You just go in and you pay it every month. And if you need to take a month off or something because things are getting tighter on the holidays, you can do that. So find out more about it by talking to them down at Stevie's. Stop by there and talk to them about that and make sure that you set Saturday, November 9th in your calendar from 1 to 4 p.m. for the grand holiday tasting. And I will see you there. All right, I got to take one more break here, and well, actually, we've got two more to get to, so let me get one of them out of the way. We'll be right back. When I got to the house, and I called you out, I could tell she had been crying. It's that same song on the radio that makes me sad. I meant to turn it off to say, welcome back in. We got an app chat message from Jeff in Fall River who says, great tunes this morning. He sent that a little while ago, so hopefully he also feels that way about Radio Song by REM with KRS-One. Also, Sketty says, I still have my seat. She wanted me to say happy birthday to Not Bad in Oak Bluffs on her behalf, but she also says she still has that CD stuck in her radio. She tried Oak Bluffs advice. Any new ideas? I think you're just going to have to go and get it serviced. What I would suggest, Getty, is go to Best Buy and see if somebody from the Geek Squad has an idea. I doubt they're going to change charge you or anything. They'll probably just, you know, come out there and help you pop it out. Or you could also maybe check with AutoZone and see if one of the guys over there will help you out, or ladies. But I know the people over here at the Fairhaven AutoZone are always super helpful with me with all my stupid questions. There was a day I had to buy a battery, and I was all dressed nice to go somewhere, and they just came out and changed the battery for me. Like, because I was going to change it myself, but they're like, yeah, we don't want you to get dirty. So they're really great over there, and it might be worth stopping in. And in any AutoZone. So it might be worth stopping in and just checking with them. And then if none of them can help, you're probably going to have to pay somebody to get it out. I know that I had a cassette that was stuck in my car radio when back in the days we had cassette players in our cars. And I had to actually pull the radio out to get behind or underneath kind of the housing, like the what held the cassette in place. And I had to get underneath that and kind of push it out from below. I got it out and the cassette was fine. No problem. And then I put the radio back in, reinstalled it, screwed it all back in, put the bezel back on around. And what did stupid Tim do after that? I put the tape back in to see if I could get it to come out a second time. And if I had actually solved whatever the problem was. Guess what? It didn't. Got stuck again. So I had to open it up, take it out again. And then I just never put a tape in there again after that. This was in the 90s. So by that point, I really could have moved to CDs anyway. But I had that big box of tapes I would take with me everywhere I went. And I would just play cassette tapes everywhere I went. I've done some really weird things with cars over the years. I had a 78 Plymouth Volare. Love that car. But it didn't have a radio in it that worked. And I forget why I couldn't put a radio in it. I think I did eventually put a radio in it. Yes, I did. Because I remember I had one of those detachable face radios. And I had the little case and I'd bring it with me. So like you're walking into the mall and you have to like bring the face of your radio in the little carrying case and put it in your pocket. It was kind of annoying. And then eventually I just started putting it in the glove box so that people thought that I took it in. Nobody was going to steal the radio out of my 78 Volare, but when I first got it, I went to like Rent-A-Center and I got the JVC Kaboom box, which was like the big new boombox stereo thing that you could rent there for like $15 a week. And I rented one of those because I was like, I don't need to go out and buy one because I'm going to put a radio in eventually. I just need something in the interim. So I rented it, put it in the back of the car, and then I had a remote. So I'd be driving down the road. I'd have my CDs. It had like a 6-disc changer in it. I'd have my CDs loaded in there, all my stations preset, and I would just, you know, use the remote control and hold it over my shoulder and change things. And I had the music coming out of the back seat, and it worked out fine until I got to where I was going, and I was like, oh, damn, now I got this giant boombox in the back seat that I don't want to leave sitting in the back of the car. So then I'd have to go and put it in the trunk. So that people didn't know that I had it. Oh, it was more hassle than it was worth. But damn, did that thing sound good. In fact, when I finally put a radio in the car, I was like, I should just put this in my room. But I didn't want to keep paying $15 a week for it. So anyway, that's just one of the many weird things that I've done with cars over the years. There's been a lot of rig-ups over the years to avoid having to pay full price for things. We could just do this. Like when I had my pickup truck. And the heater core went, and instead of replacing that, because I think, you know, everything was going wrong in the truck, instead of replacing it and just trying to get the last bit of life that I could out of it, I went out and bought this little plug-in heater that you clip onto the sun visor and then plugged into the cigarette lighter. And it didn't really work. It kind of warmed things up directly under it, but it didn't heat up the whole cab of the truck. So then I'm thinking to myself, well, I've got a second cigarette lighter. It had two slots. So then I went out and bought another one. Put that on the other side of the truck. Didn't really help. Could have just gotten the heat fixed. But, you know, man, I missed that truck. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Got a few moments left in the program. Let me take my final break and get that done, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Hey, turn me upside down. Oh. Welcome back in. A little Alice in Chains there to wrap up the show. And Skeddy, I just sent this to you in an app chat reply as well, but Not Bad says, Tim, please send Skeddy to visit my friend over at Cartoons in New Bedford, and he will get the CD out for her. They are located at 413 Ashley Boulevard in New Bedford. Give him the call to set something up. 774-202-2847. And I sent that over to you in an app chat message. So you should get that reply on your WBSM app to be able to read that and have that information. So there you go. Cartoons will help you get that out. All right. That is going to do it for me for today. We are out of time. Stay tuned for Chris McCarthy. He is coming your way with South Coast Now. I think he might have some more information to share about Christopher Thrasher. That was some very interesting radio yesterday. If you missed that, you can catch the podcast at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app and wherever you get your podcast from. But right now, I will get...
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.